Go ahead with our study today here at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to continue our verse-by-verse study of this book here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and if you would, follow along with me at verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, as we continue our study here of 1 Corinthians, of the book of 1 Corinthians, and in particular chapter 6, verse 12 through verse 20, the Apostle Paul is now addressing a major problem that was common not just among the Corinthian believers, but as we're going to see in a moment, it was pretty common among many Christians at that time, and unfortunately is very common among Christian people today, probably more common than you realize. And that is, of course, specifically fornication. If you look at verse 18, he says, flee fornication. If you'll jump back to verse 13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. It's pretty clear that the Apostle Paul in this section of 1 Corinthians 12 through 20 is addressing the issue of, what do we do with our bodies now? What is appropriate and what is not appropriate for us as believers to do with our body? Is it okay for us to go and just do the things with our bodies that we were doing before we were saved, the sinful activities and so forth? And it's pretty clear that one of the things that was happening, one of the prominent issues that was happening at Corinth was fornication. We'll come back to that here in Corinthians here in just a moment. But what I want you to see, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. Now watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. When you think of the Thessalonian believers, you do tend to think of, and rightly so, a group of believers that were growing spiritually very fast, very rapidly. They had a very positive response to the Word of God. Things are going pretty well. And that's in contrast with the Corinthians. When you study the Corinthians, you find that, yeah, they got all kinds of issues, problems, and so forth. And after a long period of time, the Corinthians still are not just doing so well, spiritually speaking. And again, with the Thessalonians, on the other hand, they got off to a great start. They were doing very well. They were growing very well and so forth. But having said that, one of the areas that they still struggled with was the whole area of personal sanctification, personal holiness in the life, in their life as believers. If you look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this: furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Well, there it is, fornication. It's interesting that of all the things that people get involved in with their flesh, with their bodies, with their lives and so forth, and obviously of all the things that the Thessalonians, these guys were idol-worshipping Gentiles, of all the things that they were involved in, the thing that the Apostle Paul in particular reminds them about, that is, when it comes to the doctrine of sanctification, personal holiness, he says, verse 3 again, notice verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." He doesn't say that you should abstain from drunkenness, although obviously they should do that. He doesn't say you should abstain from drugs, although obviously they should do that. He doesn't say they should abstain from lying, cheating, stealing, although they obviously should abstain from all that. They were doing pretty good in those areas. But what he reminds them about is this particular area of personal holiness in connection with abstaining from fornication. You see, as good as the Thessalonians were doing, and they were doing very well, they were spiritually growing, they were responding positively to the word and so forth, they did not have near as much time with the Apostle Paul as the Corinthians did. And by contrast, they were growing a whole lot faster than the Corinthians were. But there's still this issue of fornication within the assembly at Thessalonica. And the Apostle Paul here is addressing this whole doctrine of personal sanctification. And he says that you should abstain from fornication. So it obviously was still somewhat of an issue. Not near as much of an issue at Corinth, but it still was an issue. Verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. The defrauding his brother in the context here, frankly, is the context of sexual immorality, sexual impurities, the doctrine of fornication, and so forth. Now, what you need to understand is, if you'll go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and remind yourself, let the scripture remind us about the background of these Thessalonians, and it's going to be the same background for the Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from what? From idols." Do you see that there? What we need to remember about the Thessalonians, and you can turn back to 1 Corinthians 6 if you would. What we need to remember about the background of the Thessalonians, which is virtually the same background as the Corinthians, is that these folks were idol-worshipping Gentiles. And one of the ways that they worshiped their gods, frankly, was in the whole area of the flesh. They would serve their gods with their bodies. Sexual immorality, sexual impurity, that whole area, it was common in the days of the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. And so these people, when they got saved out of that stuff, they had to completely retrain their thinking as to the purpose of the body, the nature of the body, why God created the body, and what was okay and not okay to do with the body. Now, listen, friends, in our day, it's the same thing. I mean, look at our day. Look at our world out there. The world out there is just obsessed with the human body. And not just in the sense of that, well, it's an amazing creature, just the way the eyes work and the tendons work and the muscles work and the heart works. And that is all amazing, and you should be impressed with that. But frankly, what I'm talking about and the problems that the Corinthians and the Thessalonians had, the problems of our day, the world is obsessed with the human body from a sexual standpoint, from the standpoint of the immoral things that people do and the sinful things that people do with their bodies. And you can't hardly turn on the TV or pick up a magazine or drive down by the airports and see the billboards where the old saying, sex sells. And so when they're trying to sell some kind of product on the TV, they usually have the idea of some scantily clad women with, looking like they're having all kinds of fun. And that's all just to entice people is what it is. And so what you see happening in the advertising media today, the marketing media, it is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. They did those same kinds of things back in the days of the Corinthians, the Thessalonians, and so on. Now, why is it that people are so obsessed with that? Why is it that there's such a pull, such a draw, such a power to the idea of the physical sexual contact between men and women, hence the fornication, that type of thing? Well, one is obviously the issue of sin and so forth. But number two is because there is a basic misunderstanding of the purpose of the human body and the purpose for which God created that ability to have intimate relationship and so forth. The Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 is seeking to reorient the Corinthians to something that they really should know as believers, but they didn't know it as unbelievers. Now what I mean is this, once again, look at the unsaved world around you today. Isn't it true that the unsaved world around you thinks that as long as you... All right, let's see if... are we back with sound now? Do we have, sound back on? Okay, we're back now with sound. Getting one more confirmation to let me know that we are back with sound there. And we'll continue on. Okay, very good. Again, I think where we left off was if you look at the world out there, the world thinks that as long as you have consenting adults, then it really doesn't matter who you run around with, who you sleep with, how many people you sleep with, and so on. That's their view out there. And one of the reasons that they believe that is, of course, they don't have sound doctrine in their thinking as far as the purpose and nature of the body, why God created the body. Now, when you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, one of the things that that happened, God, the Holy Spirit, came to indwell us. We now need to be taken in the Word of God to educate us, to reorient our thinking. And one of the areas where we need to retrain our thinking is in relationship to the purpose of the body itself, the actual physical body, the purpose of the body. Now, here's what you will hear. Here's the thinking that you'll hear sometimes people say. They'll say, well, now, wait a minute. If sin is resident in my flesh, that's my flesh is the old man. My flesh is just going to go to the grave. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be changed. It's a vile body. And I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm sealed. That part of me which is eternal is the new man. Then what difference does it make what I do with my body? After all, the body is just the flesh. It's just part of the dust of the ground. It's just nothing. So it really doesn't matter what I do with my body, since I'm eternally saved, I'm eternally secure, that God is not going to lay sin to my account and so forth. So what difference does it make what I do with my body? Okay? And that's what the Corinthians were thinking. That's that concept that the material part of you, i.e. your body, that it's just part of the creation anyway. It's part of the dust of the ground. It's going to go to the earth and so forth. So really and truly, it doesn't matter what you do with your body, because since it's just the dust of the ground, it's just the same as taking a handful of dust and joining it with another handful of dust. Since your body is just the dust, well, then There's no real moral issue involved. There's no real sinful issue involved when you take your body and join it with another body and so forth in sexual impurity and that type of thing. Now, that's bizarre reasoning. You and I both know that's bizarre reasoning, but that is the thinking that the Corinthians had, and that is what a lot of people think when it comes to the body. They seek for reasons to justify and excuse their sin. Now, what the Apostle Paul is going to do here at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20, he is going to teach the Corinthians something that they already should have known once they became believers, if they would have listened to the doctrine. But it's obvious that they didn't hear it, so he's going to really address these issues again. Now, let's see what he says here. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." That's a wonderful verse. You see, even though it's true that we're not under the law, we're under grace, and therefore all things are lawful. No sin that I go out there, and nothing that I'm going to do that I can do with my body is going to be laid to my account because my sins are totally forgiven. All things are lawful unto me. That's a true statement, Paul says. But all things are not expedient. Just because I can go do all things doesn't mean I should go do all things. Just because I'm not under the law and I'm under grace and therefore I can go do, you know, some things, that doesn't mean that all things that I can do are going to result in my edification. Verse 12 again, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." They're not going to result in my edification. See that? So as a believer, as I'm thinking through what I should be doing and shouldn't be doing with my body, especially if it's in the area of sinful activity with my body, such as fornication, you know, in my mind, I might be thinking, now, you know what? It's okay to do this in the sense that, you know, I'm not going to lose my salvation, die, and go to hell. But my, oh my, will this thing result in my edification? And it won't, of course. See? So we want to make decisions relative to what we do with our body. And the question is, will it result in, is it expedient? Is it going to help me grow spiritually? All right? Is it going to help me learn to depend upon the Lord, to rest in His Word? He says at verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Let me give you a simple example of this verse right here. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink wine or strong drink or beer, that type of thing. I used to back into my college days before I was saved, but I haven't drank anything in years and years and years now. Now, I don't say that from the standpoint of trying to boast in myself and my abilities and so forth. I say it because my family background, when you go back several generations, my family background, they were, you know, extreme alcoholics and create all kinds of problems and so forth. And I know that that's in my background, okay? I mean, I know that's in, you go back, you know, grandparents, great-grandparents and so forth, and it created a lot of issues and so forth. And like I say, back in my college days, you know, obviously we'd go out with the boys and have a beer. I went to Texas A&M and that type of thing. We'd go out after a football game, whatever. But I haven't drank for years and years and years. And again, I don't say that to boast in myself and so forth. But I say it to say this. Sometimes when we get together with friends, activities or that type of thing, like after a hockey game or maybe even after, you know, sports activities, sometimes people, you know, will say, "Hey, John, do you want a beer?" And I'll say no, you know, and so forth. And, you know, they know I don't drink and so forth, okay? And occasionally they'll come up, they'll say, "Wait a minute, John, you know, are you saying it's wrong to drink a beer?" And of course the answer is no. That, you know what, if you want to drink a beer, go drink a beer. You know what, if you want to have a wine, you want to have a glass of wine after your supper, go do it. I choose not to. And the reason I choose not to is not because it's wrong, but because of the principle right here in this verse. It says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." There is a potential power that alcohol can have over a person. And if you've ever been involved in alcohol, if you've struggled with alcoholism and that type of thing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've struggled with drugs or struggled with various addictions, you understand that there is a potential power that that addiction can have over you. And so what you want to do, you want to just choose the path of wisdom. And the path of wisdom says, you know what? I could have a glass of wine after supper, but I don't. I could have a glass of wine, you know, on special occasions, after supper, whatever, but I choose not to. Why? Well, one of the reasons, and this is not to, again, this is not to condemn another brother or sister in Christ if they choose to have a glass of wine after supper, because they're free to, and there's nothing wrong with it. But it is to say, as I make decisions through things, that's a principle, that's a verse to use, that there's a potential power that alcohol or drugs or that type of thing will have over you. And, you know, when Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, doctrinally, this is another way of saying Romans 6. Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 6. Look over to Romans chapter number 6. You see, when you start giving yourself over to alcohol or to sexual conduct activity, such as in the context of 1 Corinthians 6, to fornication and so on, when you start giving yourself over to that, you know what you just did? You now allow that thing to have power over you. Paul says over here, look what he says at Romans 6, start with me at verse 14 now. Romans 6:14 says this. He says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." Well, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And here it is. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. See that principle right there? Let me use another illustration. I was in the Marine Corps for a number of years, and I was already a believer at the time, and I was an officer in the Marine Corps. And it was pretty much expected of officers that at least once a month that we would get together on a Friday after, you know, the work week and so forth. We'd get together about once a month, at least once a month. Some would do it regularly and so forth, but at least once a month we were expected to get together over at the officers' club with the other officers and so forth. And of course, you know, it goes on at the officers' club. A lot of drinking and that kind of thing. And so I got to tell you, I didn't go too often. It created some problems and so forth with my upper command, because they always expected me to go. And I just told them, sir, I'll go and so forth. I don't drink, and not because I can't, and not because of being wrong, but I just choose not to. I just choose not to as a Christian and so forth. And of course they didn't necessarily like that, but they didn't really hold it much against me and so forth. But when I would go, again, you know, all the other officers, they'd all be drinking their beer and their wine and this and that and everything. And it was a little uncomfortable, but not so much, because it just, you know, I didn't, you know, at first they gave me a hard time, and of course I just give them a hard time right back and everything. But it really began to be a testimony, which is what it was. You could see those guys, they'd take that one drink, and then they'd take two more and three more and four more, and then, you know, pretty soon they were just smashed. They were totally under the power of that drink. What an illustration that those kinds of things, they have a power. And Paul says here that know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. You yield yourself to that alcohol. You yield yourselves to those drugs. You yield yourselves to that sexual immorality, that fornication and adultery and so forth, and you become its servant. That's exactly what happens. If you go back with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, so Paul says, guys, he says to the Corinthians, he says, guys, understand something. All things are lawful. He says, you know what? You go do those things as a believer, it's not going to send you to hell. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're under grace. You're not under the law. God is not going to kick you out of his family and so forth. But my, oh my, those things are not expedient. They will not result in your edification. And instead, they're just going to have you brought under their power. So don't go do that. He says at verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought into the power of me. Now again, watch the simple illustration. He says, look, guys, he says meats are for the belly. Meats is the idea of food. Okay, you understand that. So he says meats for the belly and the belly for meats. Think how simple that is. Why did God create food? Well, God created food for your stomach. He didn't create it for your ear. He didn't create it for your foot. He created it for your stomach. And why did he create the stomach? He created the stomach. Think about that. The stomach is an interesting organ in your body, okay? It's not the ear. It doesn't hear. It's not the mouth. It doesn't talk. Well, maybe it does when you're hungry, it gurgles or whatever, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? Your stomach, the one purpose for which God created the stomach is for the digestion of what you put in it. And hopefully that's good, solid, healthy food, okay? So meat's for the belly, and the belly is for meat. There's a purpose for each of those two. They serve for each other. And then it says, but God shall destroy both it and them. See, that food, it's going to be all purged. The belly, that's you're going to get a new body one day. They're temporary. Now watch what he says. Now the body is not for fornication. That is not why God created the body. He created the body for the Lord. When God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, God didn't create that body, that physical body he created out of the dust of the ground. He didn't create it for fornication. He created Adam's body. He created the body of a man, the Adam's body, so that man could serve God. So the man could carry out God's will, God's intentions, God's purpose. He says, now the body is not for me, for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Friends, there's a parallel here. Just like the meat is for the belly, and the belly is for meat, so too, the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. So the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians here that even though sin is resident in the flesh, and even though your flesh is going to return to the dust of the ground, you're going to have to get a new body one day, even in its corrupted, fallen state, God still intends that your body would be used by Him for His purposes, not for fornication. So he makes it very clear as far as what the purpose of your body is. Now, to me, it's interesting too, and it's pretty exciting to realize that even though the body is in a fallen state, even though sin is resident in the flesh, even though your flesh is still corrupt, you do not have a redeemed, glorified body yet. Your soul has been redeemed, but your body has not been redeemed yet. Even in its fallen state, your body, that is, God still can and does purpose to use it. Isn't that amazing? He says again at verse 13, the second sentence in the verse, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God didn't create the human body for fornication. He created it for Himself, and He is available for the body. Isn't that something? So Paul is instructing the Corinthians here as to the purpose of the body. Now, again, what happens is this, that some believers think that since they are saved and sealed and eternally secure in Christ, which is a true statement, and since the body is sinful and wretched, it's going to be changed anyway, it's going to go to the dust of the ground and so forth, and you're going to get a new body, then sometimes people have the idea, this is Christian people, sometimes they have the idea, well, it really doesn't matter what I do with my body. Friends, it does matter. This is the whole this whole section here deals with that doctrine of personal sanctification. Personal sanctification. Look how the Apostle Paul says it over in 2 Corinthians. Look over with me over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And he says this. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. It says this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There it is right there. You see, we not only want to cleanse ourselves of those inner sins, those sins of spirit, you know, bitterness and anger and envy and that type of thing. Well, listen, we need to cleanse ourselves from all the sins, the filthiness of the flesh, those outer sins, the fornication, sexual immorality, things like that. We need to cleanse ourselves from that. Say no to that stuff too, friends. Stay away from that stuff. That stuff has a power to it. It'll come in. If you've ever talked to somebody that has gotten caught up in pornography, men or women, because it affects both, all right? If you've ever talked to somebody that's caught up in pornography and then they've gotten out of it, I mean, they'll tell you the power that's connected with that. It's similar to the power of alcoholism, the power of drugs that can take over you. There's a power to it. And Paul says that what we want to do is, in the light of having these promises, dearly beloved, we want to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, when he talks about cleansing ourselves from the sins of the flesh, the filthiness of the flesh, friends, that's the body. Go back with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians 6 now. So God created the body for himself, and God is available for the body. God, in fact, God the Holy Spirit resides in your body as our resource. God himself is our resource. God the Holy Spirit indwells us. He's actually going to go on to say that. Look down at verse 19 and 20. He says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" See that? God the Holy Spirit is our resource. And so as we seek to live the Christian life and serve God, and as various temptations come our way, we just have to draw. We have to remember who we are and rest in and draw upon our resource, God the Holy Spirit. Now if you would go back to verse 14, verse 12 is the principle of expediency of what's going to result from my edification. Verse 13, the body is for the Lord, so let's yield our body to him. And verse 14 is the power source. Look at verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. The point of that verse is power. There is power to say no to sin and yes to God. The same power that is going to raise, let me say it this way, the same power that has raised Christ from the dead is the same power that is going to raise us from the dead, and is the same power, that resurrection power, that is available to you and me right here, right now, today. Because Christ is our life. You see his point here? So again, verse 12, the issue in verse 12, you know what? Let's, as we go through life, let's make decisions to do things with our body that will further our edification. Fornication's not going to further our edification. So let's understand the purpose of the body. It's not for fornication, it's for the Lord. It's to serve the Lord with, and the Lord indwells us. And verse 14, the Lord is our power. That resurrection power to do right, that resurrection power to serve God, is available to us right now, right here, right today. You know what, friends? Doesn't this sound like Romans 6? It should, because that's what it is. As you read down through this section, Romans 6 should be coming to your mind. Go with me to Romans 6 again, if we were there a little bit earlier. go to Romans 6. That's exactly what Paul's doing. He's teaching them Romans 6 from a different perspective. Look over to Romans 6. Notice what he says, verse 14. Actually, look at Romans 6, verse 3. Romans 6, 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death," obviously not water baptism, "therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? "In newness of life." That's that resurrection life that you and I have right now, right here, right today. Look with me a little further in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 11. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but" what? "But alive unto God." See that? We already have resurrection life. Christ is our life. Christ resurrected is our life. See that? That resurrection power, which is, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection life, that is our power. That's our resource today. He says, "But alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord." Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts there." We don't need to obey the old flesh anymore that wants to go and do those things. What we need to do, verse 13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but instead do this, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." You know why? Because you are. That's why. The reason that Paul tells us, the reason that the Word of God tells us, the reason that God, the Holy Spirit right here, tells us to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead is because we are alive from the dead. Christ is our life. We still have this corrupted, sinful, vile flesh of a body, but God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. Christ resurrected is our life. He is our source. He is our power. And he, by the Spirit, indwells us. Hence, that's why he says, we don't have to yield to the old sinful nature anymore. We don't have to yield to the desires of the flesh anymore, that we should obey it. We don't have to obey it anymore. We now can obey God as those that are alive from the dead, because we are alive from the dead. So when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, it's pretty clear that what Paul is doing, he's kind of reteaching them Romans 6 doctrine here. So verse 12 again is the principle of what's going to result in my edification. That's what I should give my body to. Verse 13, the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Verse 14, God's power is what is available. The power source, power for living. If you want to put a note, the note next to verse 12, just write down, power for living. Verse 14 says, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." The same power that raised up Christ from the Lord is the same power that's going to raise you and me from the dead and give us glorified, resurrected bodies, is the same power that's available to you and me today as we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so having said that now, the principle of expediency, that is what will result in my edification, that's verse 12. The understanding of the purpose of the body, verse 13. The understanding of the power that's available at verse 14. Understand that. Now watch what he says at verse 15. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot?" God forbid. I mean, that's so simple. He says, wait a minute. If your bodies are the members of Christ, you belong to Christ, then shall I take you and join you to an harlot? Does that make any sense at all? Is there any consistency in that all? No. That's why he says, God forbid, absolutely forbid such a thing. That's not why God saved us. It's not why he sealed us. It's not why he made us members in Christ, of Christ. God didn't save us and seal us and forgive us and place us into living union with Jesus Christ just so that we could go and take and join our members to a harlot. God saved us sealed us, blessed us, made us one with Christ, so that God could do with us, not just in eternity future, but even here and now, some things that were not being done before. And that is that we could serve Him. He says at verse 16, "What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For the two saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." See that? So what we want to do is, with the conscious awareness that we have been joined unto Christ, and we are one spirit with Him, that He, by means of His Holy Spirit, indwelled our bodies, therefore, let's yield our bodies unto Him. Let's yield our bodies to His Word. Let's yield our bodies not to the flesh, not to fornication. He says, the very next verse, verse 18, he says, "Flee fornication." Let's yield our bodies to the Lord. Let me have you turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 again, and then we're going to wrap up for today. We'll have to finish this next time. Go back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you read this section in 1 Corinthians 6, the passages that should come to mind are Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, down to verse 8. And there's one little verse here that I want to kind of wrap up our lesson today with. Notice again at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commands we gave you by the Lord, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Now here's the verse. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel," that's your body, "in sanctification and honor." There it is right there. Part of growing in the Word of God is learning what that verse means right there. It's learning how to possess our vessel, our body, and do so, how? In sanctification and honor. That's what we want to do. We want to yield our bodies to God as those that are alive from the dead. And hence the things that we do with our body, we want them to be honorable. Honorable to the Lord. Well, we're out of time right now.